Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so much for hanging on after that first hour. I hope you enjoyed that first hour. It got a little bit hot. Jacob, though, as usual, is really good. He's a good fireman. He's good at putting out fires and cooling things down. You people, you may not know this. I don't see how you wouldn't know. But 10 days ago, we had one of the most dastardly deeds ever perpetrated in this here United States of America. It was the Twin Towers destruction. The World Trade Center high-rises were destroyed, were one way or the other. It happened 10 days ago. I watched for it, and I don't know why, but it seems like there has not been that much publicity about it. I think I know why, the powers that be. But we have a guest on tonight, and I'm so fortunate we could get him. I tried, believe it or not, I tried for about 12 to 13 years while I was with the other radio show to get him. And, you know, we finally got him. And our other co-host, the more educated co-host, Jacob, said he cannot believe we got this guy. I'm going to tell you who he is, folks. He is, as far as I'm concerned, he is the first and last word of what happened on that day of 9/11. He is the expert's expert. His name is Richard Gage. He is Richard Gage of the American Institute of Architects. Get this. He's the founding member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And Mr. Gage became interested in researching the destruction of the World Trade Center high-rises after hearing the startling conclusions of a reluctant 9/11 researcher, David Ray Griffin, on the radio in 2006, which launched his own unyielding quest for truth about 9/11. Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth now numbers more than 3,000 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation into the destruction of all three World Trade Center high-rise buildings. That's right, there was three of them. You usually only hear about two. Further, Mr. Gage of American Institute of Architects has worked on most types of buildings constructions, including numerous fireproof steel frame buildings. Most recently, he worked on the construction documents for a $400 million mixed-use urban project with 1.2 million square feet of retail parking structure and mid-rise office space. Altogether, we get this, folks, 1,200 tons of steel. People, I would like you to welcome Mr. Gage of American Institutes of Architects, because I cannot give him a more hearty welcome. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Richard? Mr. Gage, you there? Okay. We're people, like we said, we have Mr. Gage on, and he's going to cover the 9/11 truth, what actually happened with the destruction of the Twin Towers. And we tried very hard to get him on. We have him, and we're having just a little bit of difficulty, which it seems to be pretty normal for Blood River Radio to have these types of problems. But we're going to soldier on. Hopefully, we can get him back any second.
Yeah, building number 7. We're going to try to talk about building number 7 and what we can do to relaunch this investigation. Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Gage, I don't know what the last thing you heard, but we were really building you up, and rightfully so, all your accolades. We introduced you. Like I said, I don't know where you heard the last thing you heard, but welcome back. It took me, Mr. Gage, it took me 14 years to get you as a guest on our radio show. And I'm so excited about the urinate, man. But go ahead. I assume you would like to start. Go ahead.
It shouldn't be that hard. I'm so sorry you had difficulty. I like to talk to everybody, because the message that we have, the 3,000 architects and engineers that I represent, is extremely important for the American people. And by the way, I'm a member of the American Institute of Architects, but I don't represent them. In fact, they won't let us into the exposition halls where we present our evidence in a booth. We've been denied. They say our missions are not compatible, which is extremely disturbing because we're trying to show people that these buildings could not have come down by office fires. And in the case of the Twin Towers, jet plane impacts, it's extremely important that you know, architects and engineers understand that for the first time in history, a steel frame skyscraper has collapsed due to normal office fires, is what was told by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, who was tasked by Congress to explain all three collapses to the American people. Well, what we found is, starting with Building 7, this third skyscraper that you've been talking about here is it's a 47-story building that, after witnesses hear explosions in the afternoon of 9/11 at 5:20 p.m., this building drops like a rock straight down uniformly, symmetrically, into its own footprint, and that's in under 7 seconds. Now, that's according to office fires? No, office fires have never brought down a skyscraper before 9/11, ever. So now we're being told that office fires, a few small scattered office fires in the building, brought the building down. Nobody's buying it. And the evidence shows that there's something much more sinister that did bring it down.
No, Mr. Gage, I'm glad you mentioned building World Trade Center Building 7. That's the third building. For several years, I didn't know about that either. But could you tell us more about Building 7 and how was it constructed? To your knowledge, how sturdy was that building? Is it true that it was even hardened, reinforced?
Well, there was a bunker that ran the city. On the 23rd floor, that was reinforced with bulletproof glass and et cetera, et cetera. But the building itself was five times stronger than it needed to be to be held up. So this is the safety factor that structural engineers develop into designing skyscrapers. They just don't want to take any chances, right? So on the afternoon of 9/11, the building falls at free fall acceleration without any hesitation, without any jolt or impact that would be indicated by the columns below resisting this collapse. So this is absolute evidence of explosive controlled demolition in and of itself. A building can't fall. I mean, all 82 columns have to have been removed at once in order for a building to fall. Now, that's exactly what the University of Alaska found when they developed the study, a four-year, $300,000 study. All the columns had to be removed at once.
Mr. Gage, we have to go to a quick break. You may hear the music, but I hate to even interrupt you. We'll be right back, people, in just a second. We can't waste a single minute of this incredible interview. Be right back.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, folks, our day has truly been made by having such an outstanding guest on tonight. We've wanted him on for years, and we finally got him. God bless him. And what courage, what guts. He's running some of the same roadblocks trying to get his message out as we run and try to get our message out. Mr. Gage, one more question about the World Trade Center 7. You know, now, I've been told, I'm going to ask you if it's true, several items I want to ask you about, that no part of a jet plane or missile that we know of struck World Trade Center 7, a reinforced building. And who would know more than an architect and engineer? We're not talking about theory. We're talking about hardcore scientific fact here. Mr. Gage, is it true that, question number one, that building was not struck by any part of an airplane? And number two, to your knowledge, was there anything like a nanothermite found embedded in some of the steel there?
Yeah, there were only two planes at the World Trade Center, but they brought down three buildings. So you're asking the right question here. And NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, said that it was normal office fires that brought this building down. Now, it took them 8 or 7 years to develop their theory as to how this building came down, and run their computer models, which they say prove how the building came down, but they completely disprove their own initiation of collapse theory. They made many assumptions that have been proven invalid by the World Trade Center 7 study by the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. Professor Leroy Halsey just released, he's one of the top forensic structural engineers in the country, and he just released the 4-year study, and it is extraordinary. It exposes NIST's, what we call fraud. He doesn't use that term, but the assumptions, many of them, at least a dozen of them, are completely invalid, and the results are equally invalid and exposed by this study, which we're trying to get to every university in the country now. What they found was that for the building to come down in the way that it did, which was at free fall, symmetrically, and in under 7 seconds. This building, he said, all of the columns would have to have been removed virtually simultaneously. So now what can do that? Well, the evidence shows what can do that, and it shows that it did do that. In fact, there are pools of molten iron found throughout the World Trade Center site by first responders. There's iron microspheres, the diameter of a human hair, found in all the World Trade Center dust samples, amounting to about 10 tons, which are found by the U.S. Geological Survey, and which are, they have no idea where they came from. But the EPA says these are a signature component of the World Trade Center dust. It's not even World Trade Center dust unless it has these previously molten iron microspheres. Well, the fact that they're molten means that this liquid molten iron achieved temperatures exceeding 2,800 degrees. Well, that's what is issued, is molten iron out of thermite, this incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. So you have the evidence of thermite found by officials in all their toxicological studies of the dust, including R.J. Lee, an environmental consulting firm, and who says these are formed during the event. But they don't speculate, you know, how they might have been formed. Well, this is direct evidence of destruction with thermite, and the ends of the beams, according to FEMA, before NIST, are partly evaporated in extraordinarily high temperature. So what can cause that? That's 4,000 degrees. Well, molten thermite is the byproduct of thermite at 4,000 or 5,000 degree temperatures, an extraordinary destructive process by heat, as opposed to high energy explosives normally used to bring buildings down, which uses the concussive force of in TNT, for instance, organic gas expansion. So thermite is a very different animal here, and it is found in the dust samples, the iron microspheres throughout the dust, and also in these red-gray chips that are found by a team of international scientists led by Niels Harrit in Copenhagen. In the 25-page peer-reviered paper, they document active thermitic material found in the World Trade Center dust. Again, about 10 tons of this material by extrapolation. These red-gray chips are fluid applied. They thought they were paint, but they do tests. And they find that they're attracted to a magnet, they find that they have the ingredients of thermite, iron oxide, and aluminum powder. And these are at an extremely small size, a nanoscale, 1,000 times smaller than the diameter of a human hair. And these particles are very, very advanced. This is found only in the most advanced, deep these sophisticated laboratories in the energy, in the arms industry. So this all has to be accounted for, none of which is explained or discussed, or the evidence or witnesses of explosions. NIST doesn't talk about those either in their report, which they took over from FEMA and then threw out this metallurgical examination that I was discussing earlier from FEMA in their Appendix C, which discusses the hot corrosion sulfur attack on the steel. They just eliminate it completely and ignore the hundreds of first responders who have witnesses of explosions. So there's no testimony from all these witnesses of explosions in the final NIST report.
You know, that's amazing. You know, Mr. Gage, it kind of reminds me of what you're saying, the people who, in supposedly the official story, I think these people are probably scared out of their wits. But it kind of reminds me of what we had a fellow on to talk about, the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. There's some similarity between these two events. You know, now, was there, Mr. Gage, leaving like World Trade Center 7, going to the Twin Towers? Now, forgive me, because you're a very smart fellow. You know your stuff. If I get repetitive, please forgive me. Were there nanothermites particles, these tiny particles, were they also found in all three buildings, for instance, in the Twin Towers in World Trade Center 7 building? Were they in all three buildings, to your knowledge?
They're found in all the World Trade Center dust samples that have been tested. And they are, and this dust, by the way, is from river to river across lower Manhattan in a 3-square-mile area. And it's, most of it is, 30% of it is pulverized concrete to a fine ash, by the way. So how did all that concrete get pulverized? But these nanothermite chips are found in all these dust samples. So, yes, it relates to Building 7. It relates to the Twin Towers as well. So we're told that in the case of the Twin Towers, that the upper part above the point of jet plane impact, 15 stories in the case of the North Tower, drove the whole building down to the ground and then destroyed itself. Well, that violates the laws of physics. I mean, it would impact the cold, hard, heavier steel below. You know, it's almost solid steel as you get down to the bottom. The lightest part is at the top. So the lightest part of a structure can't possibly destroy the heavier, cold, hard, intact steel below.
Mr. Gage, I'm sorry, we have to go to another break. Man, I hate to have to interrupt you. People, please hang on. This is one of the most extraordinary interviews we've ever been involved in at Blood River. Be right back. Hold on to your seats.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
United States Representative Joe Kennedy III formally declared his candidacy for the U.S. Senate, becoming the first member of the Kennedy political dynasty to bid for the upper chamber of Congress since Edward M. Kennedy in 1962.
Hi, I'm Joe Kennedy, and I'm announcing a campaign to be your Democratic nominee for the 4th Congressional District seat now held by Barney Frank.
Joe Kennedy is the grandson of Robert F. Kennedy, who was Attorney General in his own brother John F. Kennedy's White House and was a senator running for the Democratic presidential nomination when he was assassinated in 1968. A whistleblower complaint has been made official against President Donald Trump as he supposedly urged the new leader of Ukraine to investigate the son of Joe Biden. Trump is defending himself against the intelligence official's complaint. In a tweet this morning, Trump referred to a perfectly fine and routine conversation with Ukraine's leader. Nothing was said in any way that was wrong. This is USA Radio News.
Right now, you can get 5 cents off every gallon of fuel every day. That's 5 cents off every gallon with Make It Count rewards from Marathon. Plus, you can earn points for additional savings on fuel, airfare, hotels, and more. It's quick and easy to join. Just visit makeitcount.com/radio or download the free app. So start saving today with Make It Count from Marathon. Offer valid only at participating Marathon locations. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
To thank you for helping build MyPillow into the big company that it's become, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, has created the new Radio Listener Special. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA, and you can get deep discounts on the new body pillow, on regular MyPillow, the travel pillows, the Giza Dreams bed sheets, lots of savings there. MyPillow.com, use promo code USA and save on everything on the website.
The Pentagon confirmed some civilians were hit by drones while targeting the Islamic State. USA's Wendy King has details.
U.S. military forces in Afghanistan confirmed a drone strike on militant targets killed 30 pine nut farmers. Officials said the strike was intended to destroy a location that was used by Islamic State fighters. Officials in Nangarhar said that 40 people were also injured. The strike came after the Taliban claimed responsibility for an attack that killed at least 20 people and wounded 100 more at a government hospital. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
The first keg was tapped and the beer started flowing as the 186th Oktoberfest got underway in the southern German city of Munich. Even before the waitresses started bringing the beer mugs to customers at noon, festival grounds were so overcrowded that security guards allowed entry only for people with reservations in one of the beer tents. This is USA Radio News.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
People, we're extremely lucky to have this guest on we have tonight. In case you're tuning in late, we are still talking about 9/11, what happened 2001, 9/11, when all three, there were three towers destroyed that day, people. And the mainstream excuses, the mainstream explanation, certainly it's just a crock. But who you were listening to, we have the expert on. His name is Richard Gage. He's with the American Institute of Architects. He's been a member. Listen, in case you tune in late, he's a 30-year San Francisco Bay Area architect. And like I said, he's been a member of the American Institute of Architects for a long time. And he also is the founding member and the president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. That's who we've been talking with tonight. I hope you haven't missed it. But if you missed it, you can always go back to the archives. Mr. Gage, this is so overwhelming almost. I don't even know where to hardly start. What would you say people would tell you? I hope I'm not being repetitive. Didn't the jet fuel melt the steel and bring down the towers? Is that totally impossible?
I think that's something that a lot of people harbor as a myth. Even NIST dispels this myth, citing that the jet fuel, most of it, 90% of it, burned up outside the towers. The rest was gone in 10 minutes. And it didn't melt the steel. It only started fires, which weakened the steel in turn, and then which caused this upper portion, as we're led to believe, to drive the rest of the building down to the ground. But what we see is that the upper portion, in the case of both towers, is liquefying it, essentially the structure. It telescopes down on itself smoothly, symmetrically, not too symmetrically like Building 7, but, you know, the top doesn't fall off. It descends down, and after witnesses hear explosions, the first responders are hearing a couple hundred of them are hearing explosions before the tower ever collapsed. Now this is extraordinary testimony, evidence that was not even considered in the reports as we discussed. But while this top part is beginning to go down smoothly without impact, at almost free fall acceleration, there's these isolated explosive ejections occurring 20, 40, even 60 stories down below that are shooting pulverized building solids out of the building. And then you see from up above 4-ton and 8-ton structural steel sections ejected laterally out of the towers at 80 miles an hour, these freely flying structural steel sections, 80 miles an hour. This is something clocked by physicists, and they land 600 feet in every direction. And so all of the steel, well, 99% of it, is well outside the footprint of the building. So we have to ask ourselves then, what is crushing the building? It's not the steel, because it's in a 1,400-foot diameter around each of the footprints of the building, and it's not the concrete floors, which are, there's 110 of them, each of an acre in size. And so we don't see at the bottom of either of these towers a stack of 50 even, or 10, or not even one floor do we see that we would expect. When we watch the videos, and it's being pulverized in midair in these massive dust clouds, which are laid around lower Manhattan. So this is 2/3 the weight of the building. There's nothing left to crush the building.
That's some of the most amazing testimony I've ever heard. I can't imagine, my God, what kind of force it would take to eject, to propel a multi-ton steel beam. Did you say 80 miles per hour, Mr. Gage? Did I hear you right?
80 miles per hour is enough energy there to hurl a 200-pound cannonball 3 miles.
That is, there is no way on earth diesel fuel in an office fire could have done that. You know what? I'm just a registered nurse, a former combat medic, and I'm no engineer. But I would say a normal sixth grader with normal intelligence would know that would be impossible for an office fire to do that. You know, earlier, Mr. Gage, you mentioned witnesses coming forth. Now, are there still many witnesses coming forth to you? Do you get to talk to many of the witnesses, or are they intimidated or fearful?
Well, no, I've spoken to a number of firefighters who have seen Building 7 coming down. For instance, Rudy Dent is one of the more famous ones who has been outspoken. We have now five fire commissioners from the New York town of Franklin Square who have voted now unanimously to demand a new investigation of the destruction of all three towers. And this is the first elected body now in the country to demand a new investigation. We're very excited to work together closely with them. In fact, we and they, along with family member Bob McElvain and the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Truth Inquiry President Dave Meiswinkle, have given a press conference on the morning of 9/11, just a couple of weeks ago almost now. And they we all gave our respective demands for new investigations, starting with Christopher Gioia, who talked about how he was on the pile that day and how he had friends who died in the tower and friends who are dying still of the toxic effects of these controlled demolitions. And so we're talking about not only 3,000 murders, but more than that have died since. As a result of these explosive controlled demolitions.
You know, I'm just dumbfounded. This is one of the most amazing stories I've heard. So, some of the things I've heard, what you're telling us is even more fascinating and more outlandish than what I've, heard through the grapevine, so to speak. Mr. Gage, to your knowledge, have there been other high rises, modern steel concrete high rises that have collapsed due to fire?
Not one steel frame high rise has collapsed due to fire before 9/11. And all of a sudden on 9/11, we have three.
That is, I guess we are supposed to be this is sounding more like the Warren Commission every minute, Well, let me ask you this now. I know it's just speculation. Are you optimistic that that there will be a new investigation and that it will be undeterred or not interfered with and to do a thorough investigation, Mr. Gage? Are you confident in that will come about?
Well, I'm only confident because I have a whole lot of faith in the American people, even though they're asleep, the great majority of them. At the moment, I think there's a wake-up going on. For instance, the Jeffrey Epstein scandal is an example. Almost all American people can't buy the fact, or that what we're told is the fact, that he committed suicide. And yet the government and the media are calling us all conspiracy theorists, right? So now people who have been Epstein, they're waking up. They're saying, well, I can't trust the media anymore. What's going on here, So there's a general awakening that's happening, and I'm very excited about it. I also am aware that just talking to people in the street, that we've got maybe 50% of people are aware, that there's a serious questions about how the towers came down. Half of those can cite the points of evidence that we're talking about. So it's a lot better than it was, say, 5 years ago. I'm hopeful.
Well, you know, another question, and
Eddie,
this might be.
I have to tell you, sorry, I have to tell you this too.
No,
go ahead.
That we don't believe that our current Congress is capable of providing us an independent investigation. It's going to take a whole lot more the groundswell of the American public to force them to have. To have an investigation and a whole lot more power to get them to do it with an unimpeachable process.
Mr. Gage, we have to go to a quick break again one more time. People, hang on to your seats. We're getting ready to go back to the last segment. God, I hate for this interview to end. We'll be right back, and we'll have more questions for Mr. Richard Gage. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Well, people, we're going right back to this interview. We're going to just kind of talk over the music because we have this fellow on, and God only knows when we'll be able to get him back on again. I would like to announce one more time. I'm going to say who we have on for a few people that tuned in late. We have Mr. Richard Gage on tonight, and he is a architect. He's a member of the American Institute of Architects, probably a 30-year member because he's been in this business of an architect for 30 years or more. And he's also, I'm not trying to be repetitive, but we have people to tune in late. He is the founder and the president of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And you know what we're talking about tonight? It's not what Aunt Sally said or what Uncle Jed said, or what Billy Bob down the swamp said. We're talking hard science. We're talking hard professionals. They go to just years and years and years of education. Architects and engineers are some of the smartest people in the business. They're on average, I'm an old registered nurse. On average, they're probably a little smarter than some of your surgeons. But that's who we're talking tonight. And the reason we're talking is because, and I'll say it again in case you tune in late, this is September, was the month of 2001, September 9/11, when all three buildings of the World Trade Center were completely destroyed. And I can guarantee you, for what Mr. Gay said tonight, only a mule, not even a Missouri mule would believe the official story. And with that, we're going to go right back. I just want you people to know what kind of guest we have on tonight. This fellow, he is very, very, very high caliber. Mr. Gates, you know, this may be a little rabbit trail, I don't know, but I've been told, I'm going to ask you if you know, who was in charge of the custodians and the security for that building? I have been told it was one of the, I call them Pappy Bush and Daddy Bush, and Son Boy Bush. One of the Bush brothers. He was the brother of He was one of the Bush boys, was in charge of the security of that building. Are you familiar with that? Am I just grasping at straws here? What do you know about that?
Yeah, Marvin Bush was on the board of directors of the Securicom, Stratasec, a company who had the security contract for the World Trade Center up until the day, curious, of 9/11, their contract ended. I don't know what that's all about, but it is fascinating. Even more fascinating is the comments by the owner of the World Trade Center, who just secured the World Trade Center complex just 6 weeks prior to 9/11. It was in public hands with the Port Authority, and he secured it with an investment of only $15 million of his own money, and leveraging that to $125 million. And then leveraging it to $3.2 billion, he attained ownership of this, and he put massive terrorist insurance on it and walked away with $5.68 billion in ownership of the actual site. An extraordinary set of facts that also is intriguing is his comments a year later about Building 7. He said, I was talking to the fire commander, and there's been such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And so they gave the order to pull, and we watched the building come down. Yeah. That's a quote.
We've had a little bit of difficulty hearing you, Mr. Gates, for some reason. I don't know if you're close enough to your phone, or it could be on our end. I don't know. But anyway... I think I know the gist of what you said. You know, they call us conspiracy theorists too, Mr. Gage.
I'm outside my car now, so I hope that helps.
Let's see. It's still a little garbled. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. I'm sure it'll straighten out. I'm sure that Sam and his kids will get it straightened out. Liberty News Radio, who they syndicate our show. Also, I don't know if you said because, like I say, it would seem a little bit garbled. I don't know if you covered Mr. Silverstein. I'm hoping I'm going down a rabbit trail. Two questions. Mr. Silverstein, I think, was owner of one or more of those buildings, and he took out a multi-billion-dollar insurance company just a short time before the World Trade Centers were hit. First, that question, you may not know anything about that. Secondly, my next question is, have you ever worked with Brigadier General Parton, Air Force General? He was the chief. He was the man. He was to weapons development in the Air Force. He was to that what you are in architectural and engineering studies. And I was just curious if you ever worked with him any, Mr. Gage.
No, I've heard his lecture, though, and he's... He says they're bombs that brought down those buildings. He was very clear about that.
I got you. We had a fellow on several months ago during the anniversary for the Murrah Federal Building. And what you're talking about, like I know I'm probably repeating myself, there's so many similarities between involvement of, I call them the deep state, the shadow government, in covering up, you know, just catastrophes like this, you know, this total disregard for human life. I don't know how there was not more people killed. I really don't. It's just a miracle to me that more people weren't killed. Well, I'm going to ask about the concrete. Now, you're an architect and, you know, and familiar with this stuff. Now, does concrete require a higher temperature or a lesser temperature to be destroyed than steel? And
concrete melts at 3,200 degrees, and there's a huge piece of molten concrete in the police museum that wrapped itself around a handgun, a police handgun. So this is direct evidence of a temperature exceeding 3,000 degrees, which, of course, is impossible. Jet fuel only burns, you know, 600 degrees in open air, according to its manufacturer. So here's direct evidence of temperatures, along with much of the other evidence of molten iron and molten steel seen by the World Trade Center structural engineer himself, saying a river of steel flowing. So this evidence is exactly what will bring the official story of the destruction of these towers tumbling down as fast as the towers came down, if we can get enough people writing to their congressmen, telling the media, telling their friends, sending the AE911truth.org link to every architect and engineer that they can find and everybody else that they know. See, we're a grassroots movement, because the media is not helping us at all. Turns out the media, as I found out, is owned by 90% of it is owned by just five corporations now. So who runs those corporations, by the way? It turns out that those corporations are run by the same people who run the corporations in the arms industry, the oil industry, the banking industry, the insurance industry. These industries are not out for the American people's good. They proved that on 9/11.
You know, Mr. Gage, I think I told you in one of the conversations we had prior to this show that you know, I've run the New York Marathon four times, and I know the first time I ran it, actually I was in New York back in 2007, and we had, I cannot remember the fellow's name, but it was like, it was a 9/11 truth organization, and they were everywhere. I hope this is not another rabbit trail. If the 9/11 truth and the people, other people other than your organization, are they still around? Have they is strong, or have they dwindled a good bit, to your knowledge? Mr. Gage?
There are few people sharing the evidence of what happened on 9/11 truth now than there was several years ago. But the interesting fact is that more people are aware of the truth. So it's gone underground, if you will. We're in the water cooler talk and so forth. And that's an interesting development. But, you know, we're still at it 12 years later, working as hard as we ever have. I've given 20 radio interviews in the last 3 weeks, so I'm still working at it.
Well, Mr. Gage, I want you to, we're almost out of time, and this is one of the most amazing interviews I've ever heard. I cannot tell you how much I admire you, because people with courage, it's obvious to me that you have a tremendous amount of courage. And you're kind of, and in one way, you're the same business we're in. You're playing a dangerous game. Well, with that, I'm going to say we're almost out of time. It's almost too much, not enough time to ask. But I'm going to ask you who, why, how, who stood to benefit from you're not a politician. I know you're an architect and an engineer, but you've been in this a long time, and you deserve your opinion to have your opinion like anybody else. Who Well, Mr. Gates, I guess that'll be that we ran out of time. Mr. Gates, you call me anytime. You have my phone number. You call me anytime, day or night, when you want to come on this show. You always have an open mic, fella. And thank you so much for coming on tonight. Man, what an interview. People, that was Mr. Richard Gage. He was the president and the founding member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. God bless you all. And we'll try to get him back again, because this 9/11, even though September is the month for the 9/11, it never ends. It continues to go in one way or the other. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, God willing. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight.